I was waiting for that. Hi, I'm Monty, and I am an alcoholic. Wow, it's nice to see some of you, man. I haven't been to this meeting in, probably 2 years. It's been a while. I'm glad you're all here. If you weren't here, I wouldn't be here either. I'd like to read a little something real quick, something from the foreword from the 12 and 12. AA's 12 steps are a group of principles, spiritual in their nature, which if practiced as a way of life, can expel the obsession to drink and enable the sufferer to become happily and usefully whole. That statement means a lot to me. My sponsor says that quite often, and it's taken me forever to memorize that. That's why I haven't memorized it yet. So my story kind of probably is just like a lot of people. Parents, I was curious about what alcohol looked like, tastes like, and I remember 5 years old, my dad giving me a sip, and I remember going, that's not so good. There's probably some Kool-Aid in the refrigerator that have been better. And, around 14, I started drinking. I'd moved to New Mexico. I had a new stepdad, and he was into buying me a bottle to get me out of his way. And I realized then that I like to drink for effect. And that was kind of how it really got rolling. And I was stealing his booze and taking it to school in junior high with me. And I was roaming the halls, and I was kind of popular because I was the only kid that had booze. But I was from California, so I think they thought I was somebody special, or I thought I was somebody special. And, it progressed pretty heavily from there out. We moved back to California, and I remember I didn't have any money to buy any booze or drugs or anything, and so I started, burglarizing homes and stealing money wherever I could. And in the process, I was shot one time in the back running from a burglary, and I never got caught for that. Thank you. And, a few years later, after I think I'd already had my first DUI, I had stolen my mom's car in a drunken blackout. Well, I guess it wasn't a blackout because I remember being pulled over. And I got pulled over going over Campo Road in this old 64 Rambler. And I wondered why the cops were following me. And I soon figured out why when they turned on the red lights. And I was able to manage to get that car back in its parking spot before she found out. So she never knew until I got way older. So I had already had consequences coming. I'd already been in juvenile hall a couple of times when I was a kid. And what happened after that was the first gunshot wound was not enough for me to decide that, well, maybe breaking into homes and burglarizing people's stuff and taking stuff wasn't a good idea, because I ended up getting shot again doing another burglary. Only this time it was bad enough that they had to call the ambulance, and I was laying in the hallway, and the district attorney said they were going to issue a warrant for my arrest. And so I got on a plane, and I tried to run. I was 21, and I'm like, well, I think I'll just leave. I don't think you'll find me, but that's okay. And, of course, because I'm an alcoholic, wherever I go, there I am. And I'm still doing the same stuff, I'm catching DUIs and writing hot checks and not being found out by California yet, but there was that day that did come, and California found out I was in another state, and I was facing charges there. And before I had caught those charges there, I'd been shot a third time. And at that time, it was a year after a car wreck that I was in where I was a passenger, and we were all really drunk, and we hit a truck going 90 miles an hour on a Camaro Z28. And the two kids next to me died, and somebody pulled me and another kid out of the car. And less than a year later, I tried to blow my brains out. That's how I got shot the third time. I'm missing part of my skull. I just didn't want to live anymore. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that was the only way I knew how to get out. I didn't know anything about AA, didn't know anything about, how do you stop this insanity that's going on? And I ended up going to prison. I ended up, I caught two-year terms in another state, and California came and picked me up and said, oh, we want to talk to him. And they gave me 2 4-year terms here. And I spent 3 years in prison from 86 to 89. And I got out, and I thought, you know what, I'm never going to do that again. And ever since 89, so that's 28 years, I've never been back to prison. But that doesn't mean I stopped drinking. I managed to keep drinking. Right? I heard, yeah. And, you know, it was by 93, I was such a blackout drunk. I was drinking on the way to work, during work, and after work. And I was catching more DUIs. And the next thing I know, I'm being ousted from my job. And I was told I needed to go to rehab. And I thought, well, okay, if that's going to get a little fire out, you know. So I did for about 18 days, and I talked my way out of that. And I tried to pick a fight with the security guard the day I showed up because I thought that would be a good way for me to get out of it. And I got out of the McDonald's Center in 93, and I didn't drink for 6 years, but I didn't work a program. And I went out for a week, caught another DUI. So by now you've probably figured out I have a couple of handfuls almost. I've had nine over the course of my drinking career. And I went out for a week and caught that DUI, wrecked a Jeep, and they tried to throw a third strike at me that time. And I thought, well, maybe I should do something about it. So I kind of jumped into recovery a little bit, went back to rehab one more time. And, you know, the day came again after 4.5 years where I thought it'd be a good idea to drink. And I did for a year. And I caught a couple more DUIs with a hit and run. Right? I like to drink and drive. I like to drive, man. I love to drive, man. I can focus with one eye. And you know, around 2009, I was kind of doing a lot of stuff in my community and doing stuff with my kids and stuff. And by then, I had already been married quite a few years. I owned a house, you know, did all the things that I thought an upstanding person would do, even drink. And, you know, I was driving along, pulled in a liquor store in La Mesa, bought a bottle, went over behind Pete's place and drank it, and didn't even think about it until I sat there and thought, well, what just happened? And I didn't know. And a couple months it took me to come back. It took me a couple months to come back because I was so full of shame. And then on August 25th, 2009, I grabbed my surfboard and went to La Jolla thinking I'm going to go surfing. Bought a bottle, checked in the La Jolla Hotel, drank one sip out of that, set it down, and thought I need to lay down. And at 4:23 in the morning, I woke up and said, I don't want to do this anymore. And that was the day I made a quiet decision in my heart that I just was done. And man, my life has never been better. I can't stop it from getting better. Man, I went to school. I went to school, and now I'm a substance abuse counselor. I also work for a best-selling author managing a support department. My kids are grown and gone. I just have this amazing life now. And the best thing about it is I got really deep in AA, and I've always had kind of a home group and was always in La Mesa a lot at a Sunday morning meeting. But Drunks Only has turned into my home group. And that meeting saved my life at a time when I was at an emotional bottom. I was sober, but I was at an emotional bottom. And I was still trying to, you know, figure out the God angle to it, you know. And I realized it wasn't about religion. It wasn't about scripture or anything. It was just about me finding something I could do business with. And, you know, the one thing that I'll end this with is I can't see the edge of the herd. I can no longer see the edge of the herd. That's what my life has turned into. And I just don't know how to be, how grateful I can be, you know. It's just amazing. And so, some of you know me and have watched me grow over the years. And it's been nice to be a part of your lives. Thank you.